like to announce that the anti-Godzilla weapon is ready.
You could call it a Mechagodzilla. The one that came out of Mount Fuji is a cyborg. Mechagodzilla.
Mecha G!
Cyborg?
Mechagodzilla!
Mechagodzilla! Beat Godzilla to death.
Hello and welcome to the year of Mothra. Bless you, Mimo. I'm Baz.
I'm B.
And joining us again today from the good old Teenagers with Attitude podcast, Emily. How are you, Emily?
Hey, I'm doing great. I thought you were going to be saying joining us today from the Great White North because we talked about how much I was Canadian before the show.
Oh, right. You're that's true from the Great. Well, that's such the obvious joke. The one I want to make is that it was because I didn't even. The movie features Hokkaido so much, which is Japan's Canada. So I didn't even mean to.
It does look a lot like where I'm from BC, which is like a mountainous with tons of pine trees. So it did kind of look like home a little bit. But
did they log? So do you have like Des Ghidorah up there? Is that like where he is?
We have Life Ghidorah up here, actually, not Death Ghidorah.
Man. So is that how you get the
free healthcare,
right?
It's like Pokemon X and Y, you know?
Oh, okay, yeah. That tracks.
But that's how you get the free healthcare, is it's
Life
Ghidorah just...
Life Ghidorah just, like, gives us all his energy, and he's a total bro about it.
He hits you with the life blast.
Yeah.
Oh.
We unsealed him, and we're like, wow, this is a great idea. What a great time.
This is the first time that, like, this has actually worked out for us. This is amazing. But yeah, to get off bat, we are talking to kick off 2026, the year of Mothra. We're going to talk about, her son's movies. starting with Rebirth of Mothra, and I know what you're about to say.
Is the kid a son or a daughter? Because they said her in the version that
they
I
do. Watched.
This because here's all right. So I have to over explain here. One, this is one of the monsters that has the most gender of all time. It's got like three, because like this is like a he, she, it pronoun situation. Like this
so,
is.
So, oh, okay. Well, same. So
that this has, great. Yeah, yeah. So again, it's beautiful happenstance that we had you on for this episode.
But yeah, that's why I'm here, because I'm a it, she, he.
Exactly. We'll get some powder. There's some powder for that, I think.
fuck you.
I've made that joke a lot, where it's like, because I'm it, she, he now, which is, you know, sounds like something itchy long, but I used to just be it, she, and no matter how you do that, it's either shit or itchy. Yeah.
And itchy is
shit.
Is kind of cute, at least, but...
And I did have my display name as It, She, Tasty, referencing
nice.
Resident Evil for a while.
Well, that's pretty cool. That's pretty vague.
but broadly, Mothra Leo is like, in the public conscious, is considered more male, at least in the Western fandom. Because,
well, he's still girly pop, at least.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. This is...
A femboy queen.
Yes, because it's stuff where it's like, he's got like a bass, your roar, like the more... It's one of those things where it's like, it's ultimately, as with all monsters, the gender doesn't matter. Like, if we're going like style, like corporate style guide, like write down like the script, all the monsters' pronouns are just it's. It's everything else is essentially
like
fan headcanon. Just whatever makes you happy.
Yeah.
It don't matter. But I think it's funny for Mothra Leo to be a boy, because then it's like, you know, Mothra gets usurped by her awful chud son. especially in the year of Mothra, where it's her fucking year. And we're talking Mothra Leo, who's also cool. By the way, I don't want to downplay. I'm joking about this, but Mothra Leo is like, that's kind of a cool little bug. He's a cool little bug. He's got beans.
I like the look.
He's
a lot,
not bad.
Though.
Yeah.
He's
kind of has like
Spider-Man
eyes, which I enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the best part of this movie, and also of the sequels. If this movie and my memory is to go on, is yeah.
Well. I enjoyed the Tiny Women, but that's a
movie. Oh, yes. Listen, we love Tiny Women. There's nothing but respect on Tiny Women. I've been loving Tiny Women ever since I first saw Godzilla, Mothra versus Godzilla, whenever, how long ago that was. When I was alive,
an evil
in the
60s. Tiny woman in this. Which
yeah, Belvira. Oh, that's
great.
A game changer.
I love her.
I love Tiny Rita.
She is awesome, and her little Garu Garu guy is a delight.
I love that guy. He's so cute.
She loves hitting him. She loves beating him.
It sucks when it gets, like, spoilers, but it gets revealed that it's a robot. That sucked. I didn't like that, but...
I like that. Whatever. It's cool. He's a robot dinosaur monster.
Oh, you like that he was a robot?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
No one else gets this joke, Baz. No one else is friends with me on Discord.
That's okay.
Right, well, okay. That's okay.
It's a joke
for
me.
Some of our listeners
are
friends.
Send me a friend request. I'll be your
friend. On Discord. Are we not already friends? Okay.
I thought we were, but you just said that, that Baz is your only friend.
I'm referring to the listeners.
Okay.
You know, every one of my friends on Discord who listens is at, like, fuck it. They're still listening to MonsterVerse episodes. They're way behind.
Okay.
But I think that's, like, that's just what it looked like under the skin, because that was like a big animatronic.
That thing's real. That thing's real.
That's
it's awesome.
This movie is like it's less of a suit movie and more of a puppet movie, and I fucking love all the puppets. Yes. Like, really well done.
Like, it's such a shame though that they did, because with Des Ghidorah, because they do the two people and horse style for that. And that's never worked as a suit monster for me. It becomes much better when it becomes the flying prop and it's just hanging in the air like that. It just looks much...
Or when it was, like, stuck in the mountain and it was just kind of the heads moving around.
Great. But then it's like, oh, okay, you can't really, like, move around and stuff here. Like, it's limiting on the choreography with what you can do. And the thing is, it's like, it's already the 90s. The fight choreography is dire. This is like the best it's been.
Yeah.
This movie just has very good effects compared to everything else it does.
Yeah. The attacks that Mothra and Mothra Leo do and Ghidorah do are like all really cool.
The like ripping of the earth open is super rad.
Oh, they do it like a million times because
it's great. It's so good.
But unfortunately there is other stuff in this movie. and broadly, like,
as fluffy as Mothra is, this movie is full of fluff.
Yeah, this is it was very funny seeing the two of you comment in the recording Discord of this movie's taking forever. Because I am definitely of the opinion that every scene in this movie is 5 minutes too long.
Yeah.
This is a 106-minute long movie. It is a loose 90. It's, you know, barely over an hour and a half. Oh, it feels much
longer.
That
is one thing that this movie shares with the other film I've recently covered, Food Fight, is they're both, like, not that long, but feel like the longest fucking movie I've ever seen.
But you did say that this was at least better than Food Fight.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely better than Food Fight.
I hope like, no, so.
That's a point for Rebirth of Mothra. And B, you did mention that the director for this, Okihiro Yoneda, this was his first proper directorial debut.
Yeah.
Director.
And...
He'd been assistant director on versus Space Godzilla versus Destoroyah. He was an assistant for Orochi, the Eight-Headed Dragon.
He worked a shitload with Akira Kurosawa. Like, dude is not untalented.
Well, to be fair, I will say, like, I would say the problem with the movie is, like, the editing.
Yeah.
Which the director has some control over, but, like, I don't know how much he... Because the editing is the problem. Like, they could cut, like, way more out of
it. Because I think part of it's like, I'm trying to find who to blame for this, and I think maybe it's Tomoyuki Tanaka, because the film was based on a story that he wrote, and it was, it says planned by? I don't know exactly what that means, but it's like he organized it, and he was an executive producer for basically... Toho special effects project up to Destoroyah, probably a bit after that.
Yeah.
It's just,
I feel like this guy showed up with a 5-page script and was like, that's enough, right? I'm like, yeah, we'll just fill it in with, I don't know, whatever.
We built that house. Let's use that set. Come on. We can milk another 15 minutes out of the set.
They spent money on that set. They are going to destroy that set. And we are going to make sure we get our money's worth by destroying that set.
That designer spy kid's ass house.
It's a nice house.
Yeah, it's a shame what happened to it. But we do. The movie does open on Mothra giving birth. In
is that what's happening in that scene? I didn't really.
Yeah, she's got. It's like yeah. She's giving birth. That's how she lays her eggs. Which is whatever. But all I could think when I was watching that is that I would hate to be the janitorial staff in the studio when they were making this movie.
Oh, there's so much glitter.
There's so much glitter. It's not coming out, and it's like. Because especially because like one thing I always try and do in these movies is I want to figure out like, all right, what was like the last scene they filmed with these puppets or suits or whatever? Because it's like, you know, there'll be one where they get blown up, or something. Like, all right, what
or where they get set on fire? Sink into the ocean.
Yeah, they drown you in the ocean. So it's like, all right, they're probably done with it at that point. But it opens with Mothra giving birth. And it's okay. This is like a powers movie. There's so many powers.
Like, yeah, everyone's got a beam.
Yeah, because we're in the Beam Wars era.
That's true.
When you have a guy that's just like a moth, what else can you do?
Yeah, I will fucking shoot beams. Listen. In the '60s, Mothra had fucking hands, and she was thwapping and like pulling.
This one has little hands. I really like Mothra's little hands in this, to be honest. But
one of my friends I was watching this with compared her to Alf, and I'm like, you know what?
Yeah,
a little bit.
She's as fluffy as Alf, which I she's so fluffy. I'm not a big bug fan, and I think Mothra is like the cutest.
Mm-hmm. I love that
shows you how cute she is. Well, I mean, someone like me who does not like bugs is a fan of Mothra.
Because she's amazing and she loves you so much. And another thing we got to talk about this movie is how it's like bad Fern Gully.
Oh god,
barely. It nudges into being about conservation, but like doesn't.
It is,
really do it's anything got, it's with got it?
No teeth.
It's not no subtle teeth either. It's just immediate.
What's there to be subtle about? It's just saying like, yeah, there's logging and stuff.
Immediate, like, oh look, the bulldozers are running over baby birds. How horrible!
And you have to understand, this isn't like a kid's movie. This is a baby movie.
This is a baby movie.
this is a baby movie. Like the one I kept kind of thinking of, and Emily is I kept kind of comparing this to Gamera the Brave.
Yes.
In my head, and how, like, because Emily, just for your some word or whatever, just for your understanding, is like that. That's Gamera the Brave is a movie about like grief and like becoming with like.
It's
I don't know. B, what do you
it's
got?
It's about the power of being a child and also growing up. It's also like the same movie because there's the whole ending sequence is we have to get the magical charm to the big monster to save the day.
Yeah,
but with a much like stronger through line because there's like a child relay race. Through a panic crowd.
It's, okay, yeah.
A lot of
this movie has like themes that it doesn't really.
Yeah,
get into that much like the sibling thing. There's, like doesn't really delve into it, but it motions towards there being an arc. But
yeah, it's the issue with Rebirth of Mothra is watch any sort of kids or family movie. If you've seen Jingle All the Way, you've seen Rebirth of Mothra.
Oh my god,
this has all the same beats, just done fast and also slow. Like the parents fucking hate each other.
Until they don't.
They're having issues. Yes. Yeah, they're having problems.
But then dad, who's like a logging executive, is like, twisted your ankle, huh? I better fix that up for you. And she's like, fuck, I need a third baby right now. Fuck. And it's like...
So,
nothing brings people together like disaster, you know?
I have a question. Are the two kids supposed to be twins?
I don't think Wakaba's younger.
Yeah, Wakaba's the younger sister, yeah. And Taiki's the older brother. And Taiki's a little shit, and I don't like him.
Yeah. Oh, what was everybody's favorite Wakaba moment?
I liked when she was she was fucking couch locked.
I was about to say when she was like evilly munching on popcorn.
Yeah,
I was like, great. I was so let down with her role in the rest of the movie because it's like, I think it's limited because it's like it's one of those times where it's like, fuck, we've kind of got a dud actor here, like.
Well, I was wondering about that because like I'm like this movie is full of feminine energy. Like Mothra is the main hero. Mm-hmm. She's like the lady monster. Mm-hmm. We got the tiny women, mm-hmm, who are like really important central characters. Like, mm-hmm, Mothra's very girly pop in general. Mm-hmm. Like there's like we talk about glitter and stuff. And so they're like, we got to have like some kind of masculine energy here. So I guess we'll make Taiki the main kid and not Wakaba, his sister. Because you can't just have the whole movie be girls, I guess. It's like what I feel like is why they made Taiki the main guy, mm-hmm, even though he's a little shit.
Oh, yeah.
You see my issue. You see one of my main issues with this film. You see one of my main issues. It's like this should be, this is like, because here's the thing. I don't, it's that weird thing of like, do I think like, oh, Mothra should just be reduced? Like, oh, yeah, girl, like. Like, not, and this is all to say, it is not bad to be, like, girly pop. That's, like, awesome and cool. You should, yeah. If that's what you like, please do that shit. But, like, you know, if that's all you're, like, allowed to be by, like, a corporate structure, that sucks, too. But
yeah,
the idea of, like, monsters should also be for girls, and I think it would be awesome if this was sort of, like, a cutie honey style, like, no, this is gonna be some, like, girls run the world type shit.
Yeah.
Like, it was that thing where it's like, why is that little fucker holding up the seal? It should be Wakaba. They gave it to Wakaba.
Yeah.
Yeah. She gets cool magic powers for a single scene. Let her have them the whole movie. Like,
they hold hands to do it, so it's like they're working together, but like, and it's kind of going towards that theme of like, you know, you should get along with your siblings or whatever, or love your siblings, yeah, even if you don't get along with them. But which, like, it doesn't
kill
you. It doesn't give Wakaba enough.
Yeah, she has nothing to do, and it's just like, because I thought like, oh, should she, because like, especially like later on, and it's like, why is, like, I get Taiki has beef with Belvira, because like, you know, she's fucking up his life and shit, but like, it would have been so much more like rich and tasty if Wakaba had been like, fuck you, bitch, and squished her, or something like that.
Or like, she was the one to kill the little dragon.
Yeah, something like anything. Like, mm-hmm, let Wakaba do fucking anything in this
or
movie.
Or she just healed Mothra on her own without this fucking kid.
Yeah.
And like, yeah.
Like, let Taiki, like, sort of like, it could be one of those things where it's so easy to just kind of flip it where it's like, Taiki, he's 9, he doesn't fucking respect his 6-year-old sister at all, because, like, girls suck, and she's a girl, and, like, and she's weak or whatever.
Yeah.
But then, like, he actually grows to come to respect her and stuff. Like, yeah. That's like, the... That's the obvious thing to do.
I thought they were going to do that, like, right after she stops being mind-controlled, where he's like, I realized that I was really mean to you, and, like, I shouldn't be mean to you. Because, but, like, no, nothing happens. And, like, just so, to, like, I mean, I'm cutting ahead a little bit here, but, like, the first time we see Taiki and Wakaba, like, they kind of try to make it, like, a both sides thing, where she's fake crying, but he is physically assaulting
her. He's, like,
he's grabbing her cheeks.
He's pulling at her, like, yeah.
Like, he's physically assaulting her. I don't care that she's fake crying. Like, fuck off. Like,
I was like, oh, I love this kid.
She got his ass.
I loved her when she was fake crying. I was like, yeah, this kid's great. He sucks.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Like, yeah, let women be shitty.
Yeah.
I am fully a proponent of letting women be shitty. That's why I let you get away with so much shit, B.
Yay!
But yeah, like, because their dad, I can't remember if I mentioned, but he's, like, an executive or a manager for a logging company that's chopping down the forest in Hokkaido. Yeah. And that's where they find the seal, and that's where he's like, oh, that's shiny metal, I'm going to take that, and he pops the seal.
Here's the question I want to ask you guys. Is this in the canon of any other Godzilla movie? Because
oh,
if
no.
I lived in Godzilla world, and no. there was, like, a thing, I'd be like, let's not touch this. Let's call
yeah.
the SDF to get down here and look at this thing, because... Like, that's crazy to me that they're just like, yeah, I'll just pop it out and I'll give it to my daughter. No big deal.
No, these movies are only canon to each other. They are not canon to any previous Mothra movies. They are not canon to any Godzilla movies. Godzilla does not exist in this world.
Yep.
But King Ghidorah does.
Well, which... Death Ghidorah does.
Which
I keep calling, the movie calls him Death Ghidorah, but I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be Death Ghidorah.
It's both.
Like, you aren't wrong calling it Death Ghidorah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, no, Emily, King Ghidorah is canon to these films as well.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
King Ghidorah is in.
Oh, no.
Just you wait, be only 2 months. Only 2 months. But yeah, that's how this movie has tied to, like, logging is bad, because the logging company revealed the rock that held the seal that captured the Dez Ghidorah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he takes it because he's like, well, this would be a... I'm a pretty shitty dad who's never at home.
He cracks it open, and as my friend put it, like a Bud Light, like he just pops that shit open.
Yeah.
And then he non-consensually gives his daughter the cursed amulet.
While she's sleeping, he puts a necklace around her neck, which is crazy.
While she's sleeping and while he's drinking in bed with her, he sits in her bed on the bunk bed and has a beer.
How is it wrong to give your daughter a beautiful little necklace while she's sleeping as a nice surprise? What's wrong with that?
She did not consent to the cursed amulet. She might
strangle herself in her sleep with it, for one thing.
Okay, helicopter parents.
The amulet is explicitly cursed.
How does he know that?
Because he found it buried under the fucking mountain.
All he knows is that it was tied to an ancient culture, and he's just taking it and giving it to his daughter rather than, you know, like a museum or something.
Yeah. He's a corporate stooge. What else do you think he's going to do?
Where the fuck is Indiana Jones?
Exactly. Thank you. He's dead.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like 1998. He's probably in the ground.
He's retired.
Yeah, because he was like 70 in like the 60s. He's dead.
Yeah.
It's over. Listen, if Harrison Ford and 100-year-old man makeup showed up in this movie, it would still be bad. But
it'd be more interesting. Something would happen. Like,
what if he was like Cyborg Indiana Jones, that's why he's still alive.
Oh my god.
Don't worry, Japanese. I've been re-educated.
Fuck. Oh, Mecha Jones.
Yeah.
Oh, that's delightfully bad.
Do we ever learn the mom's name? Because I know the dad is named Yuichi because she says it later on. But I don't think we ever learn the mom's name.
It is, I think it's Makiko.
Makiko.
Okay. And listen, I have to throw this out because I'll forget otherwise. The mom was fucking serving cunt in that pantsuit.
She looks pretty good.
She's cute. Fuck it. Like, you could cut paper with her with that look she has. Like, just slice it open. Clean.
Maybe don't bring flats to Hokkaido, but, you know, sometimes it's style over function.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's like, hey, was she still able to scale that mountain? Yes. So, no problems. No problems.
She did break her ankle, but you know.
Yeah, but that's...
all you need is a tie, and then it's fixed.
So it's not really that bad. It's just like, you know, listen, you ever kind of twist it, and it's just like, oh, shit, well, there goes my night.
Yeah.
But like, you know, you don't have to go to the hospital. But like, man.
We mentioned they're fighting at the beginning. It's because, like, he's always doing work and stuff, like the classic.
The 90s.
Dad is never home.
It's the 90s. And it's like, he's like, oh, I thought you weren't going to be able to make it home. And he's trying to, like, well, I'm a good dad. I made it on the fucking red eye flight. Huh. How's that? Like, God, they hate each other so much.
When
they
gets home, he already has a beer in hand.
He pulls it out of, like, a cupboard, like, immediately, which is, like, a cupboard? Is it warm beer? I don't know, but it looked like a cupboard to me.
I think he walks in the door with it.
Does he?
I think so.
I thought he pulled it out of a cupboard.
I don't know.
Either
he goes
or
in a cupboard
the beer
for
is
something.
Warm. The beer is warm. That's a man that loves warm beer.
Oh, yeah.
He's all about real ale and shit, is what he likes. But, yeah, it is, like, honestly kind of, it's like, awesome dad behavior to, like, drink while in bed with you, like you're just sitting on your daughter's bed and it's like and starting to fight with your wife.
Yeah, he's like insulting her.
Oh yeah, he did,
like,
have
me
the beer
and
before
who?
He got the
me
cupboard,
and who
right?
Please,
oh my god.
But it just,
okay, I'm watching the beer just manifests in his hand. In one cut he's holding a briefcase, and the next he has a beer. That's the power of being
that's
a deadbeat
awesome.
Dad.
Yeah, I mean, really, if this movie had, like, any balls, he would have been, like, drunk for the entire movie. Like, sobering up right at the end when it's just like, oh, fuck. Like, Dez Ghidorah sucks the alcohol out of his. Like that.
They clearly have the Asahi sponsorship.
Yeah, I mean, hey, they got to pay for this. They got to pay for those puppets somehow.
Oh, right? Yeah. Oh, they are getting their money's worth out of those puppets.
And they got to pay. They got to pay for however many passes around the house they have to do to do the damn dog fight. It's weird because like the movie is very slow at points, but it's like up. It feels like up until the in-house dog fight, it's like a normal paced movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then once Belvira and Mole and Laura, once the Elias show up,
yeah,
then it's like, all right, everything's going to start taking a lot longer now.
Well, it's because like, they're small.
So it's like time. Yeah, the perception of time is different when you're small. So I guess it's an artistic choice of the movie to like show to get us into the headspace of these tiny characters. But it's like there's so much cool shit, like evil Wakaba, and she's doing like carry shit, and like
she's fucking eating, throwing Taiki around with like fucking psychic powers.
And there's nothing more of that in the entire movie.
It's why does she get the munchies? I don't know.
Because she's evil.
It's because
and it's evil for women to want to eat.
I feel like when you're like a kid, it's like, what do I, you want to like snack on one snack food.
It's just like, oh shit, I'm a kid with all the freedom and all the power. I get to do whatever I want.
I'm going to tie up my mom and I'm going to eat popcorn.
Yeah.
Did she tie up the mom or did Belvira do it? I'd like to think Belvira did it so I could say this is the second movie I've seen for a podcast where tiny women tie up a larger woman. The first being Small Soldiers, which isn't really women because she's like a teenager, but yeah, still.
Teenagers are women.
Well, they're girls, I would say.
Okay, well, girls are also... Well, yeah, we're not getting into the semantics of the English language. That is not this podcast. But yes, I mean, Wakaba doesn't know knots. Belvira probably knows knots.
Oh, yeah.
She had to tie the saddle on to Garu Garu. So.
Yeah.
It also makes me feel better because when I saw her tied up, I was like, ooh. That's pretty nice.
I mean, it's with, like, the extension cord of a, like, vacuum cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think because
it's the guy that does it for me.
She's a stay-at-home mom, so the vacuum cleaner is like...
Yeah, oh.
It is like the rope that binds
her. Oh, fuck, it's themes. It's themes.
You know, that's fair.
We're not really going chronologically, we're kind of like jumping around, but like... Yeah. I forgot about the scene with the dog, which was so funny because the dog looks like the most friendliest, happiest dog ever.
He's so
and
happy.
They're just putting growling sound effects over it. It's so funny.
He is
that's
happy.
What I've always heard about like dog actors is like they're just so happy to be doing a good job that they can't help themselves. So they just look so happy.
You know he got a treat.
I love it.
You know
it's
he
like,
got
it's
a treat.
Because it's like. Like the mind control stuff doesn't really go anywhere. It's because it's like Belvira just stops doing it.
Mm-hmm.
She mind controls a dog and a little girl, and then never does it again.
Doesn't she mind control the dad to do the killdozer?
Yeah, but then after that she stops.
Yeah, well she doesn't need to
it's
anymore.
Like,
it was very nice
really
of her
helpful.
for him to jump to make him jump out and not die when she shot it. But you know,
even though she wants to kill all of humanity, so like you know why not get your hands dirty? Who knows.
The thing about it is, like, she wants to kill all of humanity, I guess, but, like, Death Ghidorah doesn't directly do that. He like, kills everything on the planet,
mm-hmm.
and, like, she kind of makes it seem like, oh, humans are gonna be shitty and ruin the planet. It's like, well, you were trying to do that, too, though.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like, she doesn't really have motivation for any of that stuff, like...
No.
It's because it's such... Is the bad guy in Fern... Is it Noxus... Is that his name?
Yeah.
It's Noxus with even, like, one-dimensional Noxus. Noxus is just a two-dimensional vision villain, because, like, you know, he's just like, well, I'm poisoned, so I want to kill everything.
It's also a 2D animated movie.
Yeah, okay.
It would be like if Noxus at the end of the movie was like, I did this because I love nature, actually.
Yeah. And it's like
I like when she opens up the beer can and it sprays all over. That's
yeah.
Like, that was awesome. Yeah, I was like, I did write down, like, damn, I wish I had a can that big. Like, like a beer can so big you could, like, hook it up to, like, a hot plate and turn it into a hot tub beer can. Just boil yourself in beer.
It's a nice big old Asahi, too, you know? Like, that's some good beer.
But, fuck.
There's
this movie's maddening. This movie's maddening. It's so
the dogfight so fucking long.
You know,
it's like super cute and charming, and then it just goes on too long. Like at the first, I'm like, "Yeah, this is awesome. This is great. What are we talking about? This is okay. Well, it's still going.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay." Okay.
Yep. They don't.
Imagine it, listeners. Like three tiny women, one riding a dragon, the other one riding this like cute little fluffy moth, are like flying around a room, shooting lasers at each other. That sounds awesome, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It is for like 5 minutes, and then it's not.
they don't even do anything like fun with it.
Famous film dog fights that we've had, like, you know, like the Star Wars, like when they're going through the Death Star. And that's like the final bit of that movie. And there's like it's so much more like dynamic, and they aren't like tied to one room of an area and they're flying around, and there's stuff coming around, like there's much stronger. It's just more cinematic and dynamic feeling. And here it's just like, they're circling again. It's a NASCAR race dogfight is what it is. They just repeat themselves endlessly.
They don't even like get trapped in the piano. They have a big old piano that it's like, oh, you could get trapped in there. That would be really fun for a little tiny lady. Nope, fuck you.
Do you know?
There's one clever part where like the dragon grabs like a tablecloth as it's flying under a table, and then it covers like the moth, which is like, that's neat. That's an interesting idea, but it doesn't have like enough of that for. Yeah, for it to be.
Do you know who would have been a great director for this movie?
Who?
Joe Dante.
Oh, fuck yes.
Of Gremlins fame.
Oh, absolutely.
Because like, at least like guest direct, like put assistant director spot, just let him direct this bit. Because this is sort of Looney Tunes in that way of like, it's sort of like, yeah. It would be like Sylvester trying to get Tweety here. But no, this is.
Eventually, the boy gets the Belvira in a bug net, and that doesn't work out for them at all, and it actually results in her shooting lightning at a fairy, the tiny but also still really big moth for like compared to most moths.
Yeah.
And then it turns from CG into a little toy.
Mm-hmm. It took away its computers.
Yeah.
She took away its computer privileges.
Like, so it's sad. It's so...
And I guess the Elias kind of explained things to Taiki, but not really. I don't know.
It's just like, yeah, we're, you know...
Desigadora killed the Martians.
Yeah.
Desigadora killed...
And the dinosaurs. The
Mars.
Yes,
and the Martians. Because you're getting it mixed up. Ghidorah killed the... Fuck, is it Venus or Mars?
It's Mars.
Ghidorah killed Venus and Mars.
It is Mars, yeah.
And it's Mars in this
Venus?
Movie?
Yeah, it's Mars.
Yeah.
It killed the Martians.
They don't specify that Mars is inhabited, but like...
They're like, Mars is a wasteland now because of him.
Yeah, it used to be all foresty, I guess, is what their idea is.
It killed Mars.
Yeah. But yeah, and it also tried to kill the dinosaurs, but it didn't. But wait, yeah, because you know it's weird, actually, because this is like for later movies. Is all right. So, Des Ghidorah landed 65 million years ago, and then with on the Wikizilla it says that Ghidorah, like King Ghidorah, landed 130 million years ago. But yet, that says that Ghidorah is. I'm going to save that for that movie. I'm going to cut this bit. It's ignoring. But anyways, Des Ghidorah failed to kill the dinosaurs. Mothra did not stop that meteor that killed the dinosaurs, though. Mm-hmm. So she is complicit in the wiping out of, you know, 50% of life on Earth.
So you're saying, like, other movies specify that it didn't kill the dinosaurs, because the little boy does say, oh, that's what killed the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
But that's
yes,
wrong.
In this movie. Okay. I'm mostly in Godzilla versus Mothra. Mothra... At the end of at the start of Space Godzilla, at some point in the 90s, regular Mothra flew up into space to stop a meteor from hitting Earth. She did not do that. She only got rid of Des Ghidorah. She didn't stop the meteor, or Fuck, I'm getting shit confused. Who this movie's knows? Confusing.
Who fucking cares?
This movie claims that he came down in a meteor that killed the dinosaurs and then was stopped by a lot of Mothra.
Right. Because yeah.
they say, like, there was a lot later.
There was so much. Because this is new canon, new lore, not using anything pre-established. So it's like we have to set all this stuff up. And also Mothra has a million powers now. And she's not going to show up until, like, an hour into the movie.
Yeah, no. Also, just...
It's like 45 minutes into the movie where you first see Mothra interacting with Ghidorah.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
how long it takes.
Yeah. And she takes a while to get there, too.
Oh, she sure takes her time.
She's old and dying.
She's on death's door.
Listen.
Hag, Mothra.
Have you ever wanted to see a 95-year-old Japanese woman fight a crocodile?
Yes.
You get to in this movie.
Let's go. Three crocodiles.
And also her... A 95-year-old woman and her freshly born infant son fight a crocodile.
It goes as well as you expect. Oh,
like, because post dog fight, the movie's in a fucking lull.
There's one really good part where they're like they take a flight to Hokkaido. On like a jumbo jet that we see later, compared to Mothra's size.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't really work, but I do like that they're trying to pretend that fairy is like a toy and that the tiny women are dolls.
Yeah.
That's like yes. a really cute it's a scene, good bit. And their outfits are really good. Like I like, especially. I think it's Laura that's in the like 60s looking outfit, because I think Laura's the younger one, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Laura is the younger one.
She's making a fucking face. It's great. Adorable. It's so funny.
They're tiny women pretending to be dolls, and if you know anything about me, I enjoy that. So,
but they step on all that because there's the beat of the stewardess like, oh, what's the moth's name? And the kid Taiki just looks at her, and then. 20
and then
seconds
she just
kind of
awkwardly leaves, yeah.
She leaves, and then like 15, 20 seconds later, then the fairies are like, Fairy, her name is Fairy, okay? Don't forget it. It's like, it's not even a comedy beat. It's not funny. It's just like, wow, that didn't land at all. Like, just, it's amazing that they made... They had to have been making all three of these movies at, like, the same time. Because it's just, like, this... It's, like... I don't... they made this because this was post-Destroya. Godzilla was on hiatus, like, legal hiatus. So they're like, alright, Mothra's number two on the popularity, so we're gonna make these movies. And, like... I wish they were good, because, like, Mothra deserves
good movies. Yeah.
There's 40% of a good movie.
Yeah, her debut movie was so good that she got top billing when she went to fight Godzilla. She was first, like, because Mothra was more popular than Godzilla at that point in time. Like, you know, I'm gonna say Mothra's the GOAT. Mothra's the GOAT. I've got...
Oh, yeah.
I don't... Well, B, you've seen it. Emily, I don't think you have, but I got a big-ass... I got, like, a $400 Mothra tattoo on my arm. I love this bitch.
It's a good tattoo.
Like, that fucking rules.
Yeah. She's awesome. And, like... And here... I mean... She does circle around Des Ghidorah a bunch and beam blast him with lightning and dusting and glittering... She's going girly pop on his ass.
Yeah. Another scene I do like is when they when Yuichi is like driving the bulldozer and they do like a far away shot, it's like clearly like a Tonka truck toy.
Yeah.
I really like that.
I always love that shit cuz it's like that's so much it's so much fun to blow up toys. Like, and honestly, you know what? I think it got to a point where I almost got sick of it, but this movie has a crazy amount of pyrotechnics.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
there is
80% of the budget.
Flamethrowers in Ghidorah's mouth.
It's yeah! Crazy. I don't, they haven't really done that in any of the Toho movies. This is like one of the first ones that I've seen.
Fucking cool.
Yeah, like fucking torch that, torch everything, burn it all. But yeah, after Dez Ghidorah gets woken up, it is kind of like, it feels like there's an explosion at least like every 2 minutes or so.
You have to keep the children entertained.
Yeah, but it gets exhausting after a point where it's just like, hey, we should save this.
Yeah, like Ghidorah shows up and like fucks shit up for like a really long time before Mothra shows up. Mm-hmm. And there's like, you know, the Elias are helping the kids get through the forest with Fairy because they heal Fairy using the seal. And then they have to like go find the parents, or at least they say they're going to, but I don't know if they actually did. And like just, and then it's like, well, let's wait for Mothra to get here, I guess. And they argue over whether Mothra can handle it because she's old and shit. And yeah, I don't know. That's all that happens. And it takes like, that was like a few seconds of talking, and it takes like 20 minutes at least, if not more.
This is so, I'm sorry, Emily. I'm taking enjoyment out of your frustration with this movie's pacing issues, because yes, it's like shave like 2 minutes off of like the Dez Ghidorah waking up sequence, and like, you know, just don't add it anywhere else. Just continually shave 2 minutes here and there. Just get it down to 90 minutes. 91.
Yeah, like
God. 91
minutes. Okay, at 45 minutes, all that happens is, okay, so like the guy, it gets the seal, gives it to his daughter. There's a dogfight in the house. They go to Hokkaido. Ghidorah wakes up. Mothra shows up. That takes 45 minutes. Yep.
Oh, and don't forget the marriage issues are resolved. Yeah. In that time, off screen.
Well, yeah. I mean, she's like, oh, I'm worried my husband's dead, and then she's calling him darling, and that, like, because again, she's worried he's dead.
I'm glad you said that. I want, because like one thing I want to point in the dub, it is so funny, like the way they had them say darling to each other, because it sounds so sarcastic. It's like, what is it, darling? Like, it's like, oh, you fucking hate each other. This is gonna.
Maybe that's what you're because in the Japanese, I like oh, you're playing up how much they hate each other. They're having like issues. Like, I don't think they hate each other that much, and then this shit happens, so they learn to like maybe put that shit aside. But maybe in the dub, they're like way more aggressive to each other. I don't know.
It's less aggressive. It's more just like the like every way that their dialogue written to each other, like just what's said and like their attitudes to each other. It's just like, oh, y'all are gonna get divorced. If this whole situation doesn't happen, they get divorced 100%.
Oh yeah,
because he's so absent and distant from everyone in his family, and he's doing the typical shitty dad thing of like, no, I got the daughter a nice present, and I'm the breadwinner, so I'm doing my part. I don't need to do anything more, be attentive or whatever.
There is a part when he's in bed with his daughter where he goes like, "You're so cute, unlike your mom."
Exactly. Yeah.
What the fuck, bro? Mm-hmm.
Like Makiko divorces ass.
Yeah.
But no, because he tied that tie knot real good, and she's like, "Fuck, I forgot why I liked his ass so much." Fuck. Like. But no, yeah,
it's her comfort.
And they're all in, you know, they're all in Hokkaido, and it's like, it's one of those things, like, they have, like, the green aura of being, like, sucked up, and, like, maybe take away some of the pyrotechnics money and change it over to, like, chroma key money to, like, brown out some of the green and stuff, like, make it less explosion-y and more, like, make it look like a, like, just show, like, death growing out from Dez Ghidorah or something like that. Like,
they don't show him fuck up the plants very much. I talk about it, but all we see him do is light the plants on fire, which is like, wait, that's his food. Why is he doing that?
Mm-hmm. Like, and then they're all gray later.
Like, you know, in Princess Mononoke, when it's like the forest god is walking away and like life blooms and dies under its footsteps.
Yeah.
And it's like very quiet, or when it dies at the end of the movie and everything's like kind of like quiet and ominous. I think this Dez Ghidorah needed that in this movie versus the incredibly loud explosions and constant elephant cries that emit from its mouths. But no, I mean, hey, big explosions are cool too. Like, you know, it's cool seeing like the towering cloud of fire and smoke behind him. You know,
yeah, like it's impressive. It's cool. It's just
not interesting.
There's too much of it.
And eventually the Elias are talking about, like, you know, they argue whether there's such a summon Mothra or not. And I love the hard cut from them being in the sky with the moon behind them to them, like, being in a completely different location doing a dance and song
it's
to wake
so
Mothra up.
It's so funny.
It's so abrupt.
And it's also the bit of it's the anime transformation sequence background and stuff where it's like that.
It caught everyone I was watching this movie with off guard entirely, like, so much that they couldn't talk for a few minutes.
And this is the first of three songs, yes, I think.
The next one's not even 10 minutes later.
And, like, I don't know about the English version, but the Japanese version, they don't even subtitle it, so I know what the song's about. So I just kind of, like, looked at my phone for all of these songs.
Yeah, they don't dub it in English.
There's not a lot of good visuals.
Yeah. They don't dub it over in the English version. I don't think they have ever dubbed over... They do not dub over, like, the Japanese language songs in these movies. They just leave
sense.
It as is. Yeah.
Like, well, I don't know why we don't subtitle it.
Well, it's the Mothra, like, song, so it's just like, it's Indonesian, isn't it?
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with the Mothra song.
Mothra has a song.
Well, it's just Masurai.
That was one thing while I was watching this. There's this YouTuber I like, GameChamp3000, and she refuses to, like, play games out of order. Like, if she's going to play Persona, she has to play SMT.
Thing,
right? And she was explaining it where it's like, yeah, the plot lines aren't, like, directly, you know, coincide, like, you know, like one after the other, but there's, like, references and shit that you're not gonna get. And that's what I felt like in this movie. Like, my wife brought it up, where, like, am I supposed to, like, know what's going on here with the seal? Is this from a previous movie? Like, I had no idea, because I've not seen that many Godzilla movies.
The seal,
so, like,
you don't have to worry about
the music,
too much.
The song stuff. Yeah. I like, I don't know. Like, I know there's tiny women associated with Mothra, and that's it.
The only thing that, like, that's, like, previous, like, you know, from, like, you know, if you're a Mothra fan, is, yeah, they got the little ladies, they have the one song, the Mothra song.
Yeah.
And
did we do the Mothra song three times, or was it a different song?
They did three separate songs.
Mm. Okay,
like,
good.
Because the Mosura, that's like the Mothra song. That's the song that's always sung to, like, summon Mothra to whatever crisis they need help with. But the seal, however, I think that might have been in the 90s film, but like Mothra making the seal and shit like that. But outside of that, this is, like, the only time it is, like, matters to, like, plot, or, like, you know, it's, like, a big striking visual like that. Like, they tacked on a lot of shit to Mothra for these movies. A lot. Like, Mothra has this, like, you know, there's this idea of Mothra being, like, very mystical and magical, and, like, she is, but this is like a cut above in terms of that stuff. This is, like, a lot of the other times Mothra is broadly just, like, she is just a big moth. She doesn't have special powers. It's like she can flap her wings to make hurricane-like winds because she has big-ass wings because she's a big bug, but... It's the
lightning's new, though.
The lightning is new. She is not a beam monster, but in the 90s, they were giving all the monsters beams. All of them. They didn't matter what you were. Rodan, a normal pteranodon, oh, buddy, you're getting a beam. Mothra, oh, a big bug, you're going to get a beam. You're going to get two beams that come out of either your eyes or antennas, depending on the movie. Don't worry about it. You're going to enjoy yourself. You're going to get light. You're going to get wing beams. Listen, if you want, you can get pussy beams too if you want. We got them.
You're getting antennae beam whips. She does use a beam whip at one point.
Which is, that's kind of badass. Yeah, but it is. Actually, hold on. Let me see if I can get the powers.
At one point, I was trying to, like, make them all Pokemon moves in my head. Like, oh, she's doing Thundershock, and then she's doing Stun Spore, and then,
So are you talking about her... Oh, yeah, her Milky Whip. Her Milky Whip.
Okay.
No, that's legitimately what it is called. Mothra is able to launch a small whip from her antennae called the Milky Whip. Miruki Whipu. She's also got the Beam Pulsar. That's the twin beams from her antenna. she has the pressure field that light by scattering the scales released from her wings that creates lightning strikes. She can do the flash dash. She has a special this is my favorite one, direct impact. Monster can discharge energy from her body to escape from bite attacks, a technique known as direct
impact. She does use that. She uses all of these that you're talking about. Yes. Like,
and then there is the stun trigger where it's she turns her claws into tasers. This is interesting. This is under her powers. Physical strength. While not as physically strong as her son, Mothra can lift a weight of up to 20,000 metric tons. I just think that's interesting. Don't you? Mothra's lifted up Godzilla before. Many times. I don't know if I call her.
Well, in this version, she's old. So maybe that's what they're referring to. Is that she's like... she has to pick up her son later, which is bigger than
honestly,
her.
Honestly, Mothra is a boy mom in this movie. Like, just straight up.
Well, you can't forget the last power listed on Wikizilla. Reproduction.
Oh, yeah. Right.
That's a power.
That's a power.
Able to reproduce asexually by summoning forth an egg.
Yep.
Ladies, do you ever entrap a man by asexually reproducing and summoning forth an egg?
I'm doing this every day. Every day.
I have so many children. Fucking...
God, this movie sucks, man.
We don't even have our title. We don't even have the real Mothra of this trilogy showing up yet. Like, I think it is an hour in when Mothra Leo. No, it has to be a little earlier than when Mothra Leo first appears in this movie.
It is
4 minutes later from when they summon Mothra with the song.
So about 50 minutes into the movie.
Yes.
Yeah, and here's the thing. This is probably like the best Mothra larva puppet we've ever had.
He looks great.
It's really good.
Especially
not as fuzzy as Mothra, but still pretty cute for being a larva. Yeah. And like the segmenting it has, like the puppeteering is really good.
They actually went out of their way.
Maybe didn't need to see it swim for like 6 minutes, but you know.
Oh my god, there's so, yeah. I mean, hey, it's got to build those muscles early on in life, but they did actually, like, the special defects, Jesus Christ. Koichi Kawa...
Go on.
But the special effects director, Koichi Kawakita, was like, he wanted to do it up because he felt that it was poorly done in Godzilla vs. Mothra. So it's like, we got to do this properly. And it undulates very... It does move like a real fucking caterpillar. Mm-hmm. They nailed it.
Yeah.
And the little baby, when he's a baby, he's got... Let me read you his powers here.
And also, he hatches because the mom's getting beat up, I guess, and then they sing a song to get him to hatch better, because he's prematurely being born. Basically.
Yeah, he's borning himself. Yes. This is, like... he is... It's crazy. He's so awesome. But let's list off his powers here. He's got Excel strings, which are just... the normal silk strings, but they got rainbow powers, and they kind of tickle. Mm. My favorite one is the
string
petite
shot,
rail
but
gun.
A fairy
petite rail gun.
The petite rail, like the chest cannon. This is, they are doing shit that they have never done before in this movie. Imagine you see a little caterpillar on a fucking leaf and it just blasts you. Just scorches your fucking skin with like high energy.
It's like a big green beam.
It is. It's badass, and it pisses me off. It does. It looks like it does more damage to Desgador than anything that Mothra did to him.
It's so funny. Nothing seems to have any effect on any of these monsters. Like, nothing seems to like deal damage, and they're just like, Mothra's dying, and they're like, okay, is she? She looks fine. She's doing the same shit she was
trying chomping to look up.
Baby.
That's,
and,
I was trying
like,
to look up the move.
Coming out.
That's it, though.
That the Pokemon move that the larva is using is Signal Beam.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. Move. This is it's just even Larvesta. Green. It's just Larvesta using Signal Beam is what this is. I must have been like looking down to write notes, but I guess Mothrelio briefly goes invisible for a little bit with his power, fake reflection.
Yeah, and then the kid is like, all moths can camouflage, which is like, I guess technically true, but also
later on
in the movie, he gives you a random bee fact, and I'm like, was the book in the beginning of the movie supposed to be like a bug book? Because they never established that his kid was in the bugs, but he clearly is, because he does it like two times, but he knows random bug facts like randomly.
And I guess he's got the bug net, so it's like okay. He's
a bug catcher.
Yeah.
He's Satoshi Tajiri, actually.
Yeah, he's gonna, whoa, and then he's gonna make Pokemon. Like, oh wait, he already would have made Pokemon at this point.
Yeah,
damn, he did that shit. But yeah, and it's like this fight goes on for fucking ever, and it's like. You know, baby gets munched on.
So long, and there's like, oh, Mothra is losing, and the baby shows up. Now the baby's losing, and it starts like bleeding, and it's really upsetting. And then, and like it keeps being like switching to what the humans are doing, and then going back to this really long fight that like doesn't go anywhere until eventually. There's a little bit with Belvira, like, trying to get the seal from Wakaba, because they're like, oh, Wakaba, hold on to this, for some reason. You should hold on to this, so that you're a target again.
And did that go anywhere? Did Belvira really get the seal away from Wakaba?
She gets it for one second, it did, and then the Milky
Mothra
Whip.
Mothra uses her whip. Yeah, the Milky Whip. And then they use the seal to heal Mothra, who gets back into the fight.
They do a whole thing with a dam.
Yeah. Eventually, the family reunites because they've been separated. There's one part earlier in the movie where the kids are in a forest and then suddenly there's lava. I don't know what the fuck that was about.
There's just lava!
Well, I mean, hey, the Desgador is opening up the earth, so...
Well, sure, but they just didn't establish. They had forest, Desgador does stuff, and then the kids are near lava.
They didn't have any fire B-roll. And it's like, you know, they're just like, fuck, just go up to Mount Fuji and get some fucking lava B-roll. We don't have fucking anything. This is too hard. It's too hard to make movies.
We wasted all the money on the fucking baby silly string.
Like, this movie is such, like, nothing goes fucking anywhere. Like, we're at this point where it's like, I
have a quote, I have a couple quotes from friends that, I watched this with a group of buddies. Just the highlight of this movie was my buddy Jess. Jess from Coffin Club podcast, shout out. She just says at one point, okay, but like, is willpower actionable, or are you going to just sing another song? And then they start fucking singing again, like a second after she says it. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
It sure is a movie.
They have, at the start of the movie, they have the fairies like doing shit. But then it's this suffers the same problem that all bad monster movies do, where it's like once the monster fight gets into action, it's like everything else is like on pause.
Yeah.
Like, or it's like we wrapped up all this other shit earlier in the movie. And
yeah.
It's like,
all that happens with the humans during this scene is that they like reconnect and they get out of a fire situation.
They should have dropped the dad in the lava.
I thought he might die in that scene. I'm like, are they going to kill
his
him?
His feet are on fire.
Yeah. I thought it would have been awesome if like he got like Anakin and he kept showing and he got turned into like a Darth Vader type and he like fucking think about it, like a sick ass like cyborg human villain for Mothra. He's like, I want to hunt and kill Mothra for maiming me or some shit like that, like in the kids, because like I don't think any of the human characters come back, and I think each movie has its own, like, the only consistent human characters are the fairies.
Fuck.
And then, like, but it could have been fucking Hell Satan. They could have gotten the Hell Satan suit out.
Oh,
from Juice Beyond, and like have him around. Like that would have been. You both know about Hell Satan, right?
I've heard of Hell Satan.
I've heard of Hell. I've heard of Satan.
Let me find this shit, because he's fucking.
See, now I'm just picturing the dad like burning alive, crawling up with one hand. He's like looking at Mothra like, "I hate you, I hate you," and that's a good visual. That's a much better visual than this entire goddamn movie.
Oh, sorry. It was. It's. I had it wrong. It was Hell Saturn, not Hell Satan.
Hell Saturn.
But I will send you. And no, not a web P image. Those are fake. Those are fake files. I'm sorry. You're all gonna have to listen to me.
This guy. Yeah.
I was waiting for it, so I haven't.
Emily, thank you for trusting in me and like that I can find this and figure it out and not download a fucking WebP image file, which are fake files that no one can use.
I'm on computer.
I should just copy the image and then put it in Discord.
There, beat you. Save it. Haha. Okay,
thank you. Thank you.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that he's badass. Cool. That's Sun Vulcan, too. Like, you know, which hell is, yeah. Oh, fuck. Yeah. We should have done Sun Vulcan for this episode. Oh, fuck me.
I was gonna say, anyways, Mothra strategically gets Ghidorah to shoot the dam. Maybe it wasn't on purpose. I don't know. It felt like it was maybe on purpose.
She would do that. She's smart yeah. and funny in that way.
And then the dam blows Ghidorah away for now. It doesn't kill him or nothing, but like they give them enough time for Mothra to die in front of her son while she sinks into view.
It gives her enough time to crash land like Sully Sullivan and save the day and then fucking die again.
Yeah, she like saves her son and then just dies, yeah.
Like, this is probably like the... Like, I was sad at first watching it, and then it's like it's that same thing where it takes... too long.
Yeah, like, I was like, I should be sad when Mothra's dying, but I'm like, okay, continue, please.
I don't need to see her drowning for, like, it's a full,
fucked.
Like, minute and a half.
It's so
like,
fucked.
Give us a little bit, like, they get to say goodbye, and then she sinks. And, like, you can have it take a little long while she's sinking, but you can't have it take a long time to get to her sinking, and then have it be a long time for her sinking. Like,
yeah, because, like, it lingers on her underwater.
It's crazy.
For, like, a while.
Yes.
It is crazy.
And it's, you know, it's one of those things, it's kind of nice, because normally when she dies, she just gets blown the fuck up, and it's over, and nobody gets, like, really sit with it for too long. But so, you know, it was nice to, you know, be like, damn, it's kind of sad. But, like, you know, it's like, it gets to a point where it's just like, it's like sitting at the, I'd be sitting at her funeral like, hurry up! You know, just like, and nobody would yell at me. Because everybody's thinking it.
Everybody's thinking
We're
it.
We're all taking saying too long. We're all saying it.
I'm the only one brave enough to say it, I guess.
Oh.
But, like, and then we get to see more baby swim lessons.
The Elias give the seal back to the kids for no reason. They're like, you're still gonna need this, but then the next time I see the kids, they're like, give us the seal. So if you just kept on to the seal, maybe like you wouldn't have needed the kids to show up at all, but okay.
It takes so long for him to hatch again. There's so much of him like crawling on this island and the hospital B plot, and then he makes a cocoon. And the cocoon pulses really gross and weird.
He does the thing that Caterpie does where he like shoots the string shot into the air and then it goes onto a tree mostly, but also the cat, the larva. And I guess it's like taking energy from the tree, but not in a Death Ghidorah way. Like, it's in a good way.
Yeah, it's like
that
symbiotic.
They're stealing energy
from
the tree.
It's 100,000
these are like the oldest trees. These are like the oldest trees in Japan.
Yeah.
I just think it's funny that they both got powered up by draining energy from plants, but one of them did it in a good way.
It is also,
it's like, because Mothra is like, you know, she's like a guardian of the earth type kind of monster, so it's like there's like that Gaia connection and things like that.
Totally, yeah, yeah.
But the other thing is like with this is like it's like why even bother mentioning it? But the news broadcasting like there's a second monster that's going to attack us. Ah, and it's like there's no fight with the JSDF. There's no like honestly there's like shot I don't think
there's no
really...
reason for them to think the monster's gonna attack them because he hasn't done anything. He's just fucking swimming and
is there even any I don't think there's any JSDF in this
I
movie.
I don't think like, there's a single gun.
That's honestly okay. That's awesome. That's like because they spent all the money on the we need all these money for Death Ghidorah explosions. We don't have enough for military explosions. We can't have the JSDF.
And don't forget there's a song too when he cocoons.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
There's another song.
There's the orange song, the blue song, and then this is the green song.
Yes.
It goes without we don't even need to mention the song. We just know it's happening. Because it's like, we need another 5 minute time. It's like, the thing, this movie needs 3 5-minute time killers is what it needs.
At this point in the movie, I wrote in my notes, why is this a trilogy? There's two fucking more of these!
Well,
Baz, okay, why are we doing this?
Because Dagara's out there in the ocean, and Ghidorah's Ghadidi's gonna show up later, and we have to know how those got dealt with. Okay?
Fuck you.
You know that, like, Dagara is like a garbage-eating monster that went wrong and makes evil starfish? It's like Star Wars.
Oh, God.
Shut up.
Can't we watch good movies? Can't we watch good movies again?
We're gonna get, it's gonna be, towards the end of the year.
Fuck. God, we have so much shit.
It's... Well, listen, once we get to Godzilla versus King Ghidorah, we're going to be chopping it up. We're going to be cracking them open. We're going to be having a great old time, all right? But right now, we have to just do work. We have to do the work to get to the fun.
Fuck.
And this is the work, okay? It's the year of Mothra. Do you not want to give her what she's due? Or really her chud son?
You guys could switch things up a bit and watch, like, the American 1999 Godzilla movie.
We already did!
You did that already.
Yes. You did it out of order. Fuck.
Yeah.
We did that one together in person. Listen now, it's up.
That's cute.
Yeah, and this one, because this movie came out in 96, so this did come out before, this came out before 98, which, yeah, because this entire trilogy came out before Godzilla 98 came out and ruined everything.
Yeah.
Yep.
And also saved everything at the same time.
So everything that happens at the hospital is that this one guy is really mad at the dad because it's all his fault, which is true.
Yes.
But he's like, and you knew it was going to happen, which is not true. And then they see the kid's like, Mothra's going to save us. And everyone's like, what the fuck? Who's Mothra? And then when Mothra's on the news again, one part I really love is the mom is like, what's an insect gonna do, though? And it's like, bitch, you saw Mothra shoot lightning out of her fucking wings. What are you talking about?
God.
I do think this movie does suffer from being fully its own canon with no attachments to previous, because I do think it is... It's under... Like, it's... These people... Everybody in this movie should know about Mothra. This is one of those things, just like, Mothra should have, like, some sort of history... with, like, the nation of Japan at this point. Like,
especially when it's called, like, Rebirth of Mothra. Yeah. Like, I really thought it was going to have, like... It was going to be about, like, Mothra coming back or something. But it's not even, because this is the first time, apparently, humanity's seen Mothra. And then her son comes back. So, okay. Yeah,
so it's like... None of this doesn't mean anything to any... It's like if the parents had been, like, involved in... a Mothra situation when they were kids, and maybe that's what, like, brought them together, and they became a couple out of that.
Imagine.
So they have an attachment to Mothra, and, like, maybe, like, Mothra dying is sort of an emotional catalyst for them, like, reconciling in their marriage.
It, like, but then
it's stuff that where it doesn't have to be, like, hard and dark or even, like, super mature, but just, like, something that, like, is a connection with the monsters and the characters.
Something that happens.
Yeah, exactly. And the kid refutes his mom by saying, hey, mom, every year more people die from bee stings than snake bites. So, like, insects are pretty fucking cool, actually.
I think we should give that boy... somebody give that boy a true. Give that boy a true.
True.
That's right. And then the kids run off. And so if the mom's like, Wakaba, stop him. I'm like, Lady, you're bigger than both of them. Well, why don't you stop them? They're your kids. Like,
and yeah, they say that Mothra is bigger than a jumbo jet, and then show it next to a jumbo jet, and it looks smaller than the jumbo jet, even though that makes no fucking sense, because this thing's like Ghidorah is bigger, like, so fucking big, and it's pretty big compared to Ghidorah, but okay.
Well, listen, they just didn't scripting and, like, you know, the effects team, they came in on different days. There were a lot of scheduling issues, I'm sure. You know, it's just like, you know, probably some interdepartmental rivalries where it's like, you know, it's just like, oh, sure. Totally. Oh, the strip guys say this? Oh, yeah. Right. Big as a jumbo jet? Sure thing, boss. Whatever you say.
Yeah. And then Mothra Leo just completely clowns on Ghidorah. Like, it doesn't even, like, get hit once, and it just fucking unleashes every special attack ever known to man.
Yep. What? I want, I'm going to ask you, what do you think happens in the other two movies? Do you think they end, would you be surprised if they ended in the exact same way?
Well, now that you say that, I wouldn't be, but I kind of figured the last fight should be a little bit of give and take. Like, now, maybe Ghidorah gets some hits in.
It's all give. It is all give. It's like, I'm giving you a present of my beams in your
like, face. I realize this isn't King Ghidorah. It's, like, a different Ghidorah. But Ghidorah is, like, supposed to be, like, the biggest, baddest enemy of Godzilla. And he just gets fucking clowned on here.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's normal for just any Ghidorah. Listen, their entire species is, like, chumps. Like, they are, like...
I was under the impression that he was like Godzilla's biggest enemy, but
I mean he is in the sense that he's featured a lot, but like it's like if he's not getting help, he's getting stomped. Like,
yeah.
Listen, the guy's been
killed. If he's not fighting a 95-year-old and a baby, then he can't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, listen, his most threatening thing he's ever done was blast baby Mothra in like 1964, and then he immediately got rolled. So he's a very popular with the fans. He's the number one heel in the company. So he keeps getting work. And, you know, he's good at his job. Like, he takes the hits. You know, I got respect for him for that. But, like, you know, he's no Ghidorah. He's not going to make you work for it. You're just going to get it. Like, because here it is. Because, like, dear listener, unless you are watching this movie, which I'm just going to get ahead of the curve. This is 100% a YouTube Clips movie. And you're going to want to watch the shortened version of the fight clips because you'll just go crazy. But it is a full roll once Mothra Leo shows up in its imago form. I don't even think Des Ghidorah really gets a hit in, maybe one hit.
He's doing fucking orbital blasts.
Yes. He's using Moonbeam, he's using Infestation, he's using...
Oh, wait, hold on. I gotta get the powers. All right, so there's the four powers for the larva Mothra Leo. Imago gets, in just this movie alone, he gets, all right, there's flight, that's not even really a power, that's just, you know, he can fly. There's cross heat lasers, XL shining field, breast power beam, illusion mirage, sparkling pile load, shine strike buster, pulse a phonic shower, infrared, this is Godzilla Island, so that doesn't count. But in Godzilla Island, the toy TV show, he can shoot infrared rays or whatever.
He's pulling out fucking essence of orbital laser.
Yeah.
Oh, because
it shoots a bunch of huge beams, like huge fuck off beams, and then at one point it like separates into a bunch of tiny moths. That's the infestation move.
Yes.
And just like surrounds him, and then like B said, it becomes an orbital laser.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is because like
it's like their level 4 Limit Break or some shit. It's like a huge ass.
I also really have to emphasize at this point in the movie, I am watching this on it's on the Internet Archive. I'm watching this with friends. He does the orbital laser, and the Internet Archive itself goes down.
He hit the server.
He hit the fucking server. So we had to finish watching the movie on fucking Daily Motion in a dub.
Oh, shit.
Which is not good.
So you got a taste of what I experienced.
It's not good. It's really bad.
No, it's a shame, you know, because it's the dubbing team that did it. I just had it. Oh my gosh! Wait, it's down the. It is. Yeah, it's an Omni dub. So it's like, you know, you've got your Omni regulars in there, you know, Sharon Smith, Andrea Kwan. Andrea Kwan especially. You will hear her in any. She plays at least three women a movie in these Toho pictures.
Oh, in the 90s. Yeah.
And, you know, hey, respect. That's money. And like, I think this is one of those things. There's just not good voice direction here. Everyone sounds kind of flat. Like Belvira's voice in the dub is incredible. She's
great.
She's kind of like Scorpina in that way, where it's just like really hamming it up.
She is playing to type. She is excellent.
Yeah, but everyone else is very flat. and like, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, yeah. But after all those beam blasts and like the sealing of like just
really I didn't even understand why they needed to seal, because it seemed like Death Ghidorah was just fucking destroyed. Yeah, just
fucking kill his ass.
Like, yeah. But apparently not. He's not dead, even though it looks like he blew up more than anything has ever blown up ever. And then the kid, like I said, the kids show up. They're like, "Give us the seal." And they throw the seal into the air, and then the seal like seals. So I don't even, I don't know.
All it takes, all it takes is another dad with a screwdriver to pop the seal back off, and this all starts over again. Just kill the fucker. My favorite
part, though, is that like after all the destruction, you know, it's cutting ahead a little bit. We'll get back to what else happens, but the mom and dad are looking over all this destruction and being like, "This is going to take a lot of work and generations, but we'll build these trees back up and make a better world for our grandkids." Mm-hmm. Which, you know, in a 90s movie where they're like, you know, we're still fucking up with the environment, is pretty depressing. But then Moffat's like, no, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
I'm just going to make all the trees grow back at me instantly. Don't worry about that speech you just gave. That was like, you know, you know, like about the theme of the movie where like maybe humans could just, no, it's fine.
Let me undercut any message in this movie. Because that's why this is like Ferngully with no teeth.
Yeah.
At least like Ferngully, there's sort of like a Actually, I don't remember. It's been so long since I've seen fucking Ferngully or whatever. But I was thinking that it's like end the movie on like a montage of the family and like others planting trees and stuff. And like, you know, have Mothra fly over and there's a rainbow to be like, oh, there's hope and everybody's working together. Because it's
I do like the gay rainbow at the end.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Listen, hey. No,
Mothra's going to spread gayness everywhere.
Yes, yes, as he should. But like, yeah, it's so, because I especially think comparing it to the ending of Godzilla versus the Smog Monster, where Godzilla's, you know, fighting an embodiment of pollution, and there is the same like environmentalist message. But the movie ends on a little montage of pollution still on the world, while like the big like Save the Earth song is playing. It's like a sort of ironic, like, hey, if you want to save the Earth, this shit is still out there. Mm-hmm. But here it's like, oh no, the issue is all problem. We've saved Hokkaido.
Who cares that Hokkaido back to normal. Rent itself. I would have laughed so hard
if the dad was like, oh, never mind. I'm gonna just cut all these trees down. Yeah. Never mind. God, chill.
Oh God, next quarter's gonna make me come.
That's what the sequel's about. The dad fucking harnesses Mothra and uses him to fucking regrow all the trees he chops down. Fuck. See,
because that's like an inch. Fuck. That's so much more interesting. Like, no. You know, it's like a sort of like, because that's. Oh, that's like, because that thematically works as Mothra, as like a sort of like friendly nature guardian type, and like that being abused, but like, it's, these movies are so bog standard, just like cookie cutter.
This
is a shonen movie.
It is.
This is a fucking shonen anime movie, because it's Mothra Leo. He gets new powers every fucking movie to add on to his endless list of powers. This is fucking like, you get Luffy is might as well be in these fucking movies. Like, his stretchy ass, his hungry ass. God. My hungry ass couldn't be around Mothra. What do you mean by that, Luffy? Luffy, what do you mean by that? She lays big eggs. I'm gonna eat that egg.
What would a Mothra scramble be like? Ooh, you got me thinking now.
Would bug eggs even like?
I don't know. Like, get fucking sentient.
Listen, there's goop in there. There's goop in the egg. You can cook that goop and eat it, and it's protein. It's like an egg.
Okay. So yeah,
you can do something with it. I don't know if it would be good.
All right. Well, we gotta do Kaiju Meshi now.
Yeah.
That would be fucking good, actually. I'd be down for that series.
Well, they kind of do, because, like, I mean, it's a dragon, so it's not exactly a kaiju, but whatever. That's semantics. We got to talk about the movie still. You can't just talk about Dungeon Meshi.
You got to talk about the conclusion to the brother-sister rivalry thing.
Yeah, where you love your siblings no matter what they do, including destroying Hokkaido.
Yeah, they're like she's a bit mischievous, and it's like she's just a little bit more than that, maybe.
I get, because that is before Mothra brings everything back to life, so I guess in the sense that, like the only, it's like just like a few people, like, you know, like they're fairies, you know, they're ephemeral. They don't care about human life in that way. So it's like,
I don't think any humans died. In
no,
this
no one dies.
Yeah, I don't think nobody dies in this because Desgador just gets sealed away again.
I mean, they don't fight in a city where like, they bring they buildings fight, down. They're fighting in Hokkaido, in like the middle of the hills. Yeah. But like, if she succeeded, she would have ended all life on the planet, not just humans.
Well, like, you know that, like, in court, if you don't succeed at the crime, you aren't charged. So.
And you know what she did do is she killed Mothra.
Well, listen, Mothra was she was gonna die like today. This is just like, listen, and here's the thing, it's like, it's, we don't care if Mothra dies, as long, listen, if she's got the egg, you can do whatever the fuck you want to her, like, we don't care, just wait for, once that egg comes, it's like, there's, she's an outlaw, you can do whatever you want to her, like, or, fuck it, but yeah, it is crazy, like, they don't even, like, pick her up and put her in, like, a bug container, be like, you don't get to cause trouble anymore, Belvira.
She just runs away.
Like, if only Garu Garu was here. Or Garu Garu comes back at the very end to like break her out.
Like give her something. Don't just let her walk into a fucking like fairy hole.
I mean, many such.
Yeah, she gets no comeuppance at all. Yeah, just leaves.
She
yeah.
just walks away. I was expecting
the kids ride Mothra. Yeah.
I was expecting the kids to step on her.
I was too. Like Wakaba should have squished her. But yeah, then
I think Taiki wanted to.
Oh, he did. He would.
I bet Mothra's really comfy, by the way.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
My wife started talking about the Neverending Story, and I just now imagined the Taiki like coming back to like those boys who called him a sissy earlier in the movie while riding Mothra and chasing them for the streets,
and then she just blows them up into the stratosphere.
Yeah. my mates compared her to fucking Appa. I was like, you know what? You're actually spot the fuck on.
Yeah.
She's big.
A lot bigger than Appa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And oh, my God, yeah.
Fluffy.
And the parents are fine. Appa has
with
no
her,
gender.
With them riding. Yeah. Yeah, the parents are fine with them riding Mothra. They're like, yeah, nothing bad could happen from this.
No. Hey, listen, it's in the 90s, you know, it's... Today's kids, it's like they're just over-parented. Back then, just like, you know, they trust in their children to be safe. And like
put necklaces on them when they're sleeping.
Yeah,
yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's like, listen, what's really gonna? These are the least anxious parents ever. It's honestly kind of refreshing, you know. They aren't in the pits about like, oh, what's wrong with our kids? It's just like no. Just like shut the hell up.
After they fly off, the dad just kind of looks like. This fucking sucks. Everything fucking sucks.
He's got like 4th-degree burns on his feet or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like
he's in a wheelchair right now.
He has
now.
A head wound.
He's got the oxys. You know, he's on.
Well,
the
everything
oxy.
Around them's burned down at this point.
Well, but
so, like,
then it grows back immediately. So like, don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Care.
This is.
In
a scene where like the fairies are leaving and saying goodbye now with Mothra, everyone looks so pissed off.
Yeah,
why do they look so angry?
Because the movie's over and it took so long, and they're like, "Fuck."
Even they're not excited about anything. They're like, "Okay, get on, move, get out of here."
Like everyone was just for how long this movie took.
The plants. Come back. It like zooms in on my dad's face and he looks so upset about it. It's
yeah,
like...
because he wants to cut them all down. He's like, fuck, I worked so hard getting rid of all those trees. I worked so hard.
I just like fuck my speech, I guess.
Like... Yeah, that too. It's like fucking because with how long this movie felt, the ending is like, oh, they couldn't get out of here fast enough.
Yeah,
like,
they're just done. Like,
I wish it felt like that because I had to pee at the end of the movie and I'm like, okay, go on. And I ended up just leaving and be like, tell me if anything interesting happens, Mira. And it's like, nah, the kid just said thanks, Mothra.
They also okay, do this like cool. absurdly, there's just really corny, very weird rainbow of like, it's crayon, but only one line gets drawn. It's really goofy and very strange.
When does that happen?
It's like right before the credits.
Oh, yeah, it's a rainbow.
They draw a rainbow in crayon, but it's the whole rainbow just appears, and then only one color gets added. It's just like in the middle, they just add orange.
You're not talking about Mothra's rainbow,
No,
right?
They just, like, on the screen, cool. It's like in crayon. It's so
The crayon rainbow.
I don't. Yeah.
I guess I missed the crayon rainbow. My wife did not tell me about the crayon rainbow.
I do not
rainbow.
Understand.
Because it's, it doesn't fucking matter. It's like, there's not been a thematic thing of like rainbow or like a color missing or maybe it's some cultural reference that we aren't aware of.
I see it now.
But it's like it's, I don't.
Why orange? Is it because Mothra's
everybody's
orange?
Gay now? Mothra went to spread the gay, and now everyone's gay. And then the movie actually ends with a grandparent closing a book, and like, not children is how gay.
Wait, I was about to say, like,
that didn't happen in my.
That's why gay people exist.
That didn't happen in my copy. That's really weird.
It's not in the dub.
Okay, yeah. So. In my copy, we got the Marvel like white text, and just said Mothra will die again in Rebirth of Mothra 2.
That's not true.
Fucking Nick Fury says at the Mothra, it's like, you think you're the only giant monster in the world?
Oh, God.
What'd we learn? What did we learn?
I feel sick.
I am sick. This movie made me ill.
I know. See, the thing, I'm sorry. I didn't know that they were like, I just thought that they were just kind of like, you know, fine whatever shit, but then I didn't realize that they were gonna be like this.
We have two more.
I might have just do the next two for the other next episode. Like, just do two.
I mean, if they're like this, like, we could have covered this episode in like 30 minutes if we wanted this movie.
Yeah,
like,
we almost
nothing happens. So like, yeah, so like you could, if they're both like this, you could absolutely.
I expected there to be more. Not like some crazy like we gotta go.
Yeah.
I did not expect this to be like a two-parter, but like fuck me, this is
God.
It's one of those things I should never doubt myself ever again on these matters. Is what I've learned with this movie is I should trust my memory for every single one of these that I've seen. On whether they are good or bad.
We literally did.
And you use that memory to invite me on again for a good Godzilla movie.
I was going to ask if you wanted to join us for the rest of the series, Emily, but.
We did an entire trilogy of actual Godzilla movies in one episode. Why didn't we do that here?
I don't know. If I could go back in time, I'd make us do the anime trilogy individually.
Fuck!
If you had made me watch three of these, I don't know.
Yeah, no, if you listen, I can't make you, Emily. I have no physical, emotional, or mental power over you. I can't make you do any of these movies. It's one of those things. I was thinking like it'd be kind of funny to keep bringing you back and seeing all of us lose our minds more. But I think the next one we have to do just. Bang out the last two for the next one. I can't stretch this out for 3 months. It's a shame that this is the year of Mothra.
I'll kill you, Baz, if you do that. I will kill you.
I'm not... I just told you what I'm going
to
do.
I know, but if we have to stretch this out over 3 months, I'm coming up to New York and I'm killing you.
We're not going to stretch it out to 3 months. I just told you.
Okay, but if it does...
I'm freeing you. And Emily, I'm freeing you too. You'll never know about Aquamothra or Rainbow Mothra or Hyperflight Mothra.
Again, I would absolutely love the guest again. I just don't know if I want to do another one of these.
That's fun. Yeah, we'll have you on for like a fun one, like a legit fun, not like I thought. I'm so sorry. I thought that this one was going to be kind of like, you know, just entertaining.
I had some fun watching it.
It's not even like
I had fun. It just was like. Too long.
I forgot. I checked
my phone a lot because it was just nothing was happening.
Because I forgot to ask the important question. Because I had to ask this every time the guest returns: was this better or worse than the last movie you watched with us?
Oh boy,
I think it's worse than the last one. The last one was pretty cool.
Final Wars is
Power Ranger stuff.
Yeah,
the Final Wars is much more entertaining and like succeeds as a film more than this does. Yeah, like
that movie's still bad, but it's bad in a fun way.
This is just don't watch this. Do not watch the Mothra trilogy.
Don't.
I.
We did it, so you don't have to.
This is like the most I've ever regretted this show. Even Godzilla 98. At least we were really drunk for that.
I wasn't even that drunk. We just had 8 people in the room.
I had 2.5 beers at altitude.
Well, good for you. I was stone sober for that piece of shit.
That was your choice. But anyways, enough sniping at each other.
Yeah.
We're done. We're done with this.
Hey, we've got to do our fucking outro bullshit. I'm not doing the grading conventions on this one. This sucked. I'm doing a different thing. Courtesy of my buddy John.
Okay.
So, fucking, I'm going wild with this one. We're not doing the R conventions. Fuck Plato or whoever.
We eschew conventions for Mothra.
Yeah. No. Courtesy of my buddy John, shout out. You're awesome. Thank you for listening. Who watched this with me. Me and some of my other friends, we are interested in the Mothership tabletop RPG. And that game has a very excellent game. Maybe we'll play it on the podcast. I don't know. It's got a great way of setting up your adventures and like how to write an interesting plot. And this fucking movie follows it. And it's the Tombs cycle. Transgressions, omens, manifestations, banishment, and slumber. So, the transgression was the fucking dad popped the cap open like a Bud Light and just got that thing loose. The omens, we get the fairies fucking up the house for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Manifestations, Desigadora rips Hokkaido asunder. Banishment, we got Mothra Leo. He shows up, seals that away. Let's go. And slumber, we have to watch a fucking another one of these.
Two more. We have to watch two more.
Two!
Yeah. But, you know. It's good. So,
why did they... Like, was this well-received at the time?
I don't know.
How did they make 2 sequels to this?
I think that it was just planned to have something that tied people over while they waited for the American Godzilla movie to come out. And again, this is like Mothra is number 2 on the popularity of the like Godzilla monsters.
Yeah,
like
makes sense.
Everybody loves her, as they should. Like there's a reason that she's like in everything, and that she was like a huge get for like King of the Monsters and stuff like that. Is like she's one of the ones that like is like you knew about Mothra before you've guessed it on the show, I assume, right?
Yeah, yeah. I know a few of them,
like, but you don't know about Varan. You know.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, you know.
I know, like, I can't even say their names at the moment, but there's, like, a few of them, like, the Ankylosaurus type one, like, mm-hmm. Rodan. Mm-hmm. I know, like, fucking Desetroia.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great name.
It's great.
I knew Ghidorah. Mm-hmm. I knew Godzilla. I knew Mothra.
Yeah, because those are the ones that they have crowd appeal. Like, everybody knows about them. But, yeah, these movies just don't, like, reach that, and on Wikizilla, there's nothing like reception for the move on the movies page.
It made
people like Mothra Leo.
It made its budget back. It cost a billion yen, and it made almost 2 billion yen.
All right, that's fine. Good
in the '90s. So
I can't even imagine. Like, I was saying before off mic, like the theater experience for this must have been dreadful.
Oh God.
I'm sure, honestly, no, because this movie kicks ass if you're like 6. You kidding me?
True. This is a wear out the VHS type movie.
Like, because this is a baby movie. This is a I'm not paying attention to my kids movie. Like,
yeah, pop this bad boy on, go drink,
and while your children. Get that beer in your daughter's bed and just while away your cares.
Oh, yeah.
But
please, listeners, do not have a beer in your daughter's bed.
Or do. It's your fucking bed. You paid for it. It's your beer. You paid for that, too. It's your kid. You gave birth to them, too. You can do whatever the hell you want. B's not a parent. She doesn't know. She doesn't know your life. She doesn't know how hard it is to be a parent. You kidding me? Your kid fucking watching stupid bullshit like this all the time? Driving you nuts? The only thing that calms you is, you know, the sweet nectar of alcohol. You know, he used to begrudge you a little drink at the end of the day. Come on.
Baz is just a huge fan of drunk dads.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just listen, has to stand
if
up
the
for
drunk,
them.
If the drunk dad doesn't yell or hit and it's just kind of like quiet, that's fine too. That's okay. You can be that dad.
You say so.
But so it's better if the dad is drunk and hits you?
No, I just want to get... If he doesn't do that, it's fine. If you don't hit or yell, it's fine.
Okay.
That's what they taught me.
Okay.
There's definitely no other damage your father being drunk all the time could do to you psychologically.
No, it's fine. Listen, I've been to the schools. It's fine. I'm telling you. They tell you in class that, because it's the class that you go to be a parent, that everyone goes to and we all got good grades in. They tell you that it's okay. They test you on it. Did either of you go to the parent classes? I'm not a parent.
No. Can I just get your, like...
I have to ask my brother, I guess.
Your clearest, cleanest, like, full-hearted statement on what you are saying here.
I'm saying that it is okay to drink around your children.
All right. Thank you very much, Bez. I think that'll do it for the podcast. You should get a
That's
knock.
The message of today's podcast.
You should get a knock on your door in a few hours' time, Baz.
Okay.
CPS has been notified.
Okay, I don't have any kids, so what are they going to do? Unless it's cat protection services and...
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. And,
well, in that case, you'll see me on the news.
Well, that's where they can find you then? That's where the people can find you, on the news?
They can find me on the news, but we aren't done yet. We aren't done yet. We have to give this... We aren't doing the conventions, but we will do our rating of the film. So, B, out of how many whatevers would you rate this movie?
I give this one tiny lady out of three.
Ooh. That's no good. Emily, what about you? What would you rate this movie out of?
I give it... One green song out of a possible blue and red song.
Ooh, okay, green. Ooh, green
for good.
Song.
Green for good, right? Because green and or green go. Interesting.
Green's my favorite color between those three colors. Honestly.
That's awesome.
Okay,
that's fucking badass.
Which is, I mean, more than this movie deserves, honestly.
But you know, you're being nice. You're opening your heart.
It's an environmental movie. You know,
yeah, that's true.
There's many reasons. There's many reasons for this
official movie, the Green Party.
And this, I would...
After this, I'm going to get myself some green, if you know what I mean.
Ayo!
I would give this movie one beer out of a six-pack and just a little herd of elephants to make me think of Des Gadura.
Yeah.
And that'll do it. For the episode.
Baz, where can people find you? Except for the news.
I go last.
Well, whatever.
I know you're sick in the head right now and you can't think straight because your brain's been boiled by this movie. But we do guests first. So, Emily,
okay.
Where can the wonderful people of the Mechapodzilla Mechapodheads find you?
Well, you can find me on Blue Sky at thisisemerald.bsky.social. I might switch to an audio entropy handle at some point. I don't know. Mostly I'm just lazy where I haven't. And you can also catch me on the Audio Entropy podcast, Teenagers of Attitudes, where we talk about Power Rangers every other week, usually. We had a bit of a lull because of our main host, Zach, being very sick, but we should be catching back up with them.
Hell yeah.
And you just watched Food Fight.
So we did, just watch Food Fight.
If you want to hear Emily suffer more, you can go do that on Teenagers of Attitude on the episode on Food Fight.
Mm-hmm.
All right. B, where can our beloved or our lovely fans find you?
I am at Eldritch B on everything. Sometimes there's a hyphen, sometimes there's not. Who cares? I don't know. I'm on Blue Sky, eldritchb.bluesky.social. I'm on your computer. I'm in there. Look out.
Your computer specifically?
Yeah. And
you know who we're talking
about. You know it. And also you can find me riding on the back of my tiny little robot dinosaur dragon guy and hitting him
a lot,
just beating the shit out of him. Beating that shit like I'm a drunk dad. which Baz has endorsed.
I didn't endorse that. I just endorsed the
drinking. They didn't endorse the beating. They endorsed the drinking. They did not endorse the beating.
Well, one comes with the other naturally, so...
Baz,
where can people find you?
Okay, well, as always, please follow the pod at mechapodzilla.bluesky.social for updates on when episodes are out, blah, blah, blah. You know the drill. Just do it to make me feel good. You know, pump my numbers up. And
you want Baz to feel good?
Yeah, you do. You do. Because if I feel good, I keep making these, and I keep hurting myself watching the bad ones. Yeah, follow the pod. Next time we get wet, and then there's Good Diddy, which is like, you know, Diddy. Because, you know, that's like in line. That's still fun. I think that's still funny. I'm squeezing, like, the last juices out of, like, Diddy jokes at this point. Because, like, Good Diddy, like, because it's Ghidorah. But I'm replacing the Dora with Diddy. Because Ghidorah kidnaps kids in the third movie.
I see. Which,
you know, I don't think Diddy specifically did that. But, like, you know, he was doing, like, sex crimes and stuff. And, like, you know. So it's funny. It's, like, an edgy thing. Mimo, stop going crazy. But anyways, I'm kind of petering out now, so we're just going to end this episode. Okay, bye-bye.
Goodbye-bye.
Bye.